Chapter 1. "Mary, when will this be over Christmas?" Morgan Ashley said with a grumble, peering out her fogged and snow-caked windshield. She shut off the radio, sick of the sappy, happy, make-her-gag Christmas carols on every station. Normally, she was all over the holiday. She wore the sweaters, baked the cookies and cakes and casseroles, decorated the house from top to bottom. She rocked the holidays from Thanksgiving to New Year's. But this year, she pursed her lips and twisted the heat a notch higher, knowing it wouldn't do any good, but hoping all the same. The minivan was 12 years old, with 250,000 miles on it. It stayed hot in the summer and cold in the winter, and nowhere in between. She'd complained about it and begged Rory for a new van for the last couple of years, but her now ex-husband had repeatedly said no, that it wasn't a good time for such a huge financial purchase. He'd said things were tight at work with pay cuts and layoffs and the like. Turned out his pay cut had come in the form of a leggy brunette with big boobs who danced at the Wild Pony. His business expenses and tax write-offs? The sleazy motel rooms he'd rented for them. Since she'd had the kids at Thanksgiving, it was Rory's turn to keep them for Christmas. But when she'd walked up the steps carrying Camilla and the bags and holding Caleb's mittened hand, Rory had answered the door with a grin, his Wild Pony bimbo behind him sporting leggings and a thin t-shirt that showcased every anorexic but surprisingly lush curve. The girl, Morgan refused to call her a woman, hadn't looked a day over 18. Morgan grabbed her thermos of coffee and took a long sip, grateful for friends who filled for free. She'd stopped by Cup of Joe's on the way out of town for one last besties group hug, and to rant about having to leave her young children with her ex and his lover. That was not the example she wanted for them, but custody laws no longer cared about right and wrong. Surprisingly, Tasha was the one who'd managed to talk Morgan out of going back to Rory's with a baseball bat to claim her babies before they were exposed to things they shouldn't see. Tasha had convinced her that while Rory was a cheating, lying loser of a schmuck, he wouldn't let anything happen to his kids, reminding her that having big boobs there for their arrival was a planned move to get under her skin. And it had definitely worked. Not because she still loved him. That ship had sailed, due to all the emotional abuse he'd dished out, not to mention his adultery. She had put up with so much in an effort to make her marriage work, but she could never love or honor Rory again, after his treatment of her, and the way he'd destroyed their marriage. 10 faithful years, 2 kids, a beautiful home, and how many parties as your trophy wife, and this is how you treat me, she'd asked Rory after discovering his cheating ways. Hate to say it, darling, but your trophy wife days were over a long time ago, Rory had shot back at her. Her fingers tightened around the steering wheel as she took the curve a little faster than she should have, given the snowy conditions. Thankfully, the van's worn tires held true, and other than the clatter of her baking pans as they slid out of their box in the rear compartment, the vehicle held traction. "Please help me do this," she prayed. "I can't do this alone." And if she won, when she won, the cake-off competition, she'd have the money to open her own business, maybe even get her own television show if the producers liked her well enough. But leaving her kids so close to Christmas? With them? Men earned medals in war, but single mothers facing cheating ex-husbands and leggy bimbos. She deserved the Purple Heart. God knew hers was bleeding from the encounter. She hadn't wanted to leave her babies. She'd wanted to bundle the kids back into the van and say, screw the court-ordered visitation agreement. But she couldn't. Especially not when her parents were both sick with the flu, and Rory had shockingly agreed to take the kids days earlier than expected. A whimper left her throat before she could squelch it. Her budget was so tight her coupons were cutting coupons, and heading to Hollywood Resort earlier than planned, and having to pay for a room at the ski resort for those 4 extra days would definitely have cleaned out her savings. "If not for my besties," she murmured, wondering how she'd ever managed to find them. She'd told her best friends about the sudden change in her schedule and how the weather reports and blizzard conditions in the mountain ski area required more time at the resort. How the television production manager had made it clear if she was a minute late for the photo shoots and festivities leading up to the cake-off competition, she would be disqualified. Period. So what had they done? When she'd gone to the bathroom to repair her tear-smudged makeup and have a small panic attack, the besties had run to the ATM on the corner and chipped in more than enough money to cover the extra days at the resort, in addition to the massage and facial they had already given her as part of her Christmas present to both relax and prep her for her time on camera. "Go and enjoy and stop worrying," Emma had said. "We support you, Mo," Jolie had added. "Don't forget to hang out in the lobby and flirt with the ski instructors. I hear they're hot," Tasha had added. Tasha had sounded briefly like her old self, despite her worry over her still missing boyfriend. So here she was, alone in the dark on the snowy mountain road, praying Big Boobs wasn't teaching her daughter how to pole dance, and so very thankful for her friends that she fought back tears once again. "Please, please, please, I need to win." Winning the competition would mark the start of her new life. Divorced, yes, but more important, free. Free to be who she was. Free of the consequences of someone else's bad choices. "You can do this. You were born to do this. You were one of five chosen from how many entries? Maybe you don't have a fancy degree from some culinary school, but that just means you're blessed. Your competitors have no eye. No creativity. That's been drilled out of them and changed by all the schooling. You've got moxie and heart, and no one can take that away from you. Not even Rory." And who knew what would happen during her extra time there? Maybe she would flirt with a ski instructor. She nodded to herself at the last bit of her pep talk, hoping something would calm her nerves and lift her confidence level out of the negative zone. "Come on, Mo, just breathe. You can do this." Morgan continued up the mountain road, the thickening snow and steeper grade forcing her to drive more slowly. The van's tire slipped, but she pressed on. It couldn't be much farther, could it? The rear of the van slid when she entered a curve, and she slammed on the brake, but it made things worse. The van kept going sideways on the icy road. Steer into the slide or out of it. She couldn't remember which way to turn the wheel. Thankfully, her low speed meant she barely bumped the guardrail, but then a loud screech ripped through the air. The van slid backward, the rear passenger side scraping against the railing, before it bounced to a jarring stop. The noise had been loud enough to wake the dead, but she was thankful she wasn't still sliding backward down the curvy road, or tumbling over the side of the mountain. Nothing like a little excitement to get your blood pumping. Morgan took a moment to gather her frazzled nerves before tentatively taking her foot off the brake and slowly pressing on the gas. The wheels spun and the van jerked, but something wasn't right. After a few more tries, she zipped and buttoned her coat and found the hat she'd removed after leaving Cup of Joe's, as well as the flashlight she kept in the glove box. The icy wind stole her breath when she opened the door, and she balanced herself along the side of the van as she made her way to the rear. The driver's side was fine, but the passenger's rear tire had slipped off the road and had somehow gotten wedged between the berm and the guardrail, leaving the van sitting at an odd angle like a wobbly table. "Are you kidding me?" She stared at the wheel, looked up at the sky and the big, fat flakes falling so rapidly, and since no one was around to see her, she stomped her feet and let out a muffled shriek, careful not to be too loud in case she was in an avalanche-prone area. "Seriously? What did I do to deserve this? I didn't cheat. I didn't lie and betray my family. I'm already spending Christmas alone. Are you really going to deny me a massage and facial? A few days of peace and quiet, sitting by a roaring fire? Can't something go right for me for a change?" I don't want to intrude, but if you're done yelling at God, maybe I can help, a male voice said from the darkness.